Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is Final Destination Bloodlines, directed by Zach Lipofsky and Adam B. Stein, written by Guy Busick, Laurie Evans, and Taylor John Watts, starring Caitlin Santa Juana as Stephanie Reyes, Theo Byrnes as Charlie Reyes, and Tony fucking Todd, rest in power, as William John Bloodworth. The plot of the movie is, plagued by a reoccurring violent nightmare, a college student returns home to find the one person who can break the cycle and save her family from the horrific fate that inevitably awaits them. All right, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh, yeah. Beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
The 17th Annual Live Free or Die Tattoo Expo, July 25th through the 27th at the Doubletree by Hilton Manchester, with tattoo artists, vendors, and body piercers, hosted by Ink Masters Emily Elegato. A weekend pass is only $25. Yeah, you heard right, $25 for a weekend pass. Or get yours online for $20 at livefreeordietattoo.com. There'll be daily contests and un-freaking-believable sideshows. Join us for this incredible event. livefreeordietattoo.com.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Final Destination Bloodlines?
I thought this was great, though I really can't remember not liking any of the previous films, even though it's been a while since the fifth one came out. I believe it was 2011.
Yep.
It always amazed me how this franchise remains original. The movie is literally about being killed in the most gruesome ways, but somehow they have a great story to go along with each one. And this one was no exception. They did it again.
Yeah, man. It's always a good time with these Final Destination movies because, you know, like, they have a solid formula, right? You watch this movie, you know shit's gonna fucking happen, but you're guessing what the hell's gonna happen each time. You're like, okay, I know a death is coming, but how ridiculous is it gonna be for this death to happen?
Yeah, and they keep it original too. Every one of these death scenes, the camera is panning to certain objects within this scene. Like, you know something in the scene is going to be the cause of death, but you don't know what it is. They keep you guessing every single time.
And that's what I love. The fucking foreshadowing.
Yeah.
There's some, like, ridiculous foreshadowing in this movie. Like, one of my favorites in the whole movie, the vending machine with the spring.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and the spring randomly came out of nowhere.
Yeah, because you think the vending machine as a whole. You don't think that it's going to be a single solitary spring that's going to fly through someone's head and just fucking blow it up. You don't think that.
Dude just wanted his candy.
Yeah, well, he wanted the candy so that way he could die via peanut butter because he's deathly allergic.
Yeah.
And he wanted to break that bloodline cycle to just stop death from having a fucking party. But you see, when I'm like seeing that particular scene, I'm thinking like, okay, this fucking vending machine is going to fall and crush this kid to death and we're just going to get blood everywhere, which is a fair assumption and probably would have made sense. But the MRI machine.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a death.
Dude, you know what I noticed too? That pretty much every death scene in this movie was on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Like when you and I were hanging out last week, we watched the Space Needle scene on YouTube. And then I saw that there was one the other day. It was like a behind the scenes on how they did the MRI machine.
Yep.
And even before the movie came out, I saw behind the scenes with the lawnmower scene.
Oh, love myself a lawnmower death.
Yeah, and I made a note of that. Like, you and I, we were just talking about it recently, how we love lawnmower deaths.
they don't happen that often. Yeah. I love them because these people get mangled so bad when it comes to lawnmower deaths. There's no just like, ow, that hurt. It's like flesh flying everywhere. I love it. And dude, let me say, this friggin' opening sequence is completely bonkers.
Dude.
Absolutely nuts.
It was insane because I was inside the Space Needle last month.
Dude, fuck that, man. Space Needles anymore.
Nope. I was at the top of that thing. I was standing on that glass floor that cracked in this movie.
Oh, no. I'd be looking down and just saying, nope. So much nope.
I sent
fucking
you the picture,
not
right?
Happening. Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, but me just, like, I did, like, a shot facing downwards so you can see my feet, but I'm standing on the see-through glass, so all you can see is, like, straight down.
Oh, man. Yeah, that scene is wild because you have the band that's playing, everyone's jumping, and I'm like, oh, there's no way that many people jumping on glass is going to be safe, the slightest bit. And lo and behold, man, the absolute lunacy of this part, and we could probably give it away because it's actually in full on YouTube.
Yeah.
Someone uploaded it. Like the whole thing. I think even Final Destination uploaded the whole fucking beginning sequence.
They're all official clips. They're from their YouTube. I swear it's like all the deaths on YouTube.
Yeah. Why would they do that?
I don't understand it. Because my algorithm is obviously people dying and stuff.
Right.
That's basically all that pops up on my algorithm, like suggested for you. It's just like the MRI stuff, the lawnmower stuff. The vending machine one was on there.
Oh, yeah. But I want to take
a step back.
The garbage truck. Oh, the garbage truck was great.
I saw the garbage truck on TikTok yesterday.
Yeah, they were showing how it's done because it's like, do you remember those little, what are they called? You know, they're like, I don't even know how to explain it, but usually you would have them on your desk. They're like these pin things where you put your hand against them and the needles kind of like make like an imprint of your hand. They're not real needles, but you know what I mean, though?
I know what you mean. I used to have one of those things. I used to love doing the middle finger in it because I'm a child.
Exactly. That's it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So you do know. Okay. So they kind of did that same deal with the garbage truck. And dude, that garbage truck death is completely absurd, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Head pop like a tomato.
Well, yeah. But also the getting the leaf blower, like blowing leaves, a soccer ball hitting her in the head. She goes flying into a trash bin and then dumped into the trash compactor. Then we see her head just getting crushed and pop like a fucking zit. It's nuts, man.
It looks so good, too. Not any second of her head getting crushed looked, you know, like movie magic.
Oh, yeah. No, it looked great. Because I think they did a mix of practical effects and CGI.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, for the blood spraying everywhere, CGI. But they did that thing with the whole needles for the head to make it look like, oh, half of her fucking head just got lopped off. And I think it's so cool that they do that. I didn't even know how they would do that. Honestly, I just thought it was CGI to begin with. But looking at the behind-the-scenes footage showing how they do that stuff is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
I love seeing that stuff. I wish I could like be involved in seeing that stuff sometimes. Dude, I wish I could write the deaths for this movie because they're so damn creative.
Oh, yeah. Every time, and like I said, it's a guessing game in every single one.
Oh, yeah.
The tattoo scene, the tattoo parlor scene, that wasn't even a death. Somehow he survived. But
dude,
he got fucked up.
I don't know how he did. Dude, oh, my God. It was like a fucking cartoon.
He gets strung up by the nose, the septum piercing that he has.
Yeah.
Like a chain gets wrapped around a ceiling fan, and he's just getting strung around, and then he gets set on fire.
Yeah. It's completely bonkers. And yeah, he's just hanging there. The fact that the chain just came like snapped down and went flying and latched perfectly onto his nose ring is completely absurd to begin with.
Yeah, it was a perfect shot from that chain.
Yeah, it's like that bar game where you're like kind of playing with the ring and like the rope and you're trying to get it on the hook. Exactly like that, except death wins flawlessly every time.
Also, this dude gave himself a tattoo. I don't think anyone that does a tattoo on themselves comes out that good.
No, that thing looked great. And that took way less time than it should have.
Yeah, he did it in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, no one does a tattoo that fast, that big in 30 seconds. I don't care who you are. But initially, I was thinking like, maybe he just dies from infection from the tattoo. It's like a long extended death, you know, plot twist. Instead of something absolutely absurd happening, we just see him eventually start slowly dying like, oh, I'm sick, and then dies. I wouldn't make for a good death, would it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people are like, this is dumb. He's dying way too slow.
Speed it up.
Speed it up. Want him to get sick real fast.
We're watching a movie here.
Fucking Final Destination, Bloodlines 4, 5, and 6, and 7, and 8, and just him slowly dying over all of them. I don't know. I don't know why I chose those numbers, but how many of the Final Destinations are there now?
This is the sixth one.
Sixth one?
Yeah.
Okay, because I honestly can't think of a Final Destination that I really didn't like. You know, they're all kind of fun in their own right. I mean, this one is no slouch either. This is a great addition to the whole series. Again, man, these deaths are fantastic.
I was just browsing on YouTube. There's a YouTube video behind the scenes with Tony Todd for this.
Oh, there's a... Okay. I would love to check that out, but we should talk about Tony Todd for a second.
Do we have to?
Because we have to. This is some warrior shit, man.
Yeah.
You know, like Ultimate Warrior, he's like, everyone finally beats their heart, beats their last beat. And then he dies a couple days later. This is Tony Todd essentially reading his own eulogy.
It was insane. And like I've read a ton about this. I even heard about it before it came out, that Tony Todd had this like epic dialogue and it actually ended up being the last thing he ever said before he died, or the last film thing, I believe.
Yeah.
But he, like you said, he died like a couple days later. But I wrote the whole dialogue down. Did you?
I did not write the whole dialogue down. Feel free to say it.
Yeah, that's why I wrote it down, because I want our listeners to hear it in case they haven't seen the movie yet.
Corey, but take the reins.
But we see Tony Todd in this movie for a whole 5 minutes. And the only thing he says is, I intend to enjoy the time I have left, and I suggest you do the same. Life is precious. Enjoy every single second. You never know when. Good luck.
Crazy, right? That could have been played at his funeral.
Yeah.
And that would have been like his dying words and life imitating art, basically. It's so crazy, man. This could almost be, you know how they say like cursed movies or something like that, right?
Yeah. Dude, it reminded me of The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Those two things are just so spooky.
Yeah. So like the ultimate, for those that don't watch wrestling, so The Ultimate Warrior goes into the Hall of Fame on a weekend, right? He shows up on Monday Night Raw. He does this really epic promo, and then he dies the next day.
It's almost like he knew he was going to die.
Yeah.
So he gave, like, the fucking promo of promos, like, one of the biggest promos of his life that is just still memorable to this day, and it's so haunting.
Yeah.
And that's what Tony Todd did, too.
So I wonder if it was known that he was sick, because, let's be honest, he didn't look in good health in this movie. He was very, you know, like, when you get sick, you start losing weight, you can see your skull, your cheekbone stuff. So he was in that state. So you and I saw him. This fucking makes me sad every time I talk about it. But you and I sat next to this dude 2 years ago in a bar hotel.
I know.
Right?
Oh, shit, man. We should have bought him a fucking shot.
I know. But he was eating dinner. Like, and I didn't want to disturb him. I didn't want to be that guy, even though we were literally sitting next to the fucking Candyman.
Oh, man. I know.
And I'll regret it. Like, I regret it, but I don't. Because I don't want to bother people, you know, when they're trying to have a meal or whatever.
Yeah, and you know what? We can still say that story, that we went to a bar, Tony Todd was sitting right next to us. We didn't get to say anything because we didn't want to bother him. It's still a story to tell. It's not great. He was right there.
Yeah.
We could have said something, but we chose to like just take the high road and let him eat in peace.
Yeah, and I mean, they deserve that. But like thinking back, that was what, 2023?
Mm-hmm.
He announced that Final Destination Bloodlines was happening at that panel we were at.
Yeah.
He literally announced it and he said, I will be in it.
And he was not skinny then.
No, he looked like Candyman Tony Todd.
This was drastic. This was very drastic, so, very aggressive.
I wonder if it was knowledge. I mean, I'm sure he knew, but did he tell anyone?
Yeah. Was it cancer?
I'm not sure. I'm going to Google that while you talk.
Yeah. Look that up real quick, because when you see people kind of in this state, it's usually cancer. And you could tell he was clearly weak because he was sitting in the chair most of the time. Like his whole monologue with the other actors and everything was all in the chair, except for the one point where what Corey said, that whole monologue, like basically the eulogy, he was standing up holding something and then he walked away and that was it. And that is the last time we saw of Tony Todd.
And maybe he was just in such bad health in real life that he wanted to be a part of this movie because he's been in the other ones. Mm-hmm. And maybe the directors wanted him to be in it. And he said, you know, I'll do it, but I'm I don't have the strength to do an entire movie, but I'll give you like a few minutes kind of thing. Also, his cause of death has never been disclosed.
No shit.
But he was reported to have been suffering from a lung illness.
Oh, damn. That sucks.
So it was, yeah, it was never public.
Hey, that's okay. It kind of adds to the allure of Tony Todd.
This dude's film career is insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. He was in The Crow.
The Crow.
I watched that recently.
Platoon, Night of the Living Dead, The Rock, Wishmaster, Hatchet, Minotaur, Frankenstein, Death House, Hellfest. Like, dude,
yeah,
it just goes on and on and on.
It's crazy. He's been in so many movies, man. Yeah, you said The Rock, right?
Yeah, Sean Connery and Nick Cage.
Yeah, man, he's done a lot.
I love that movie.
I just watched it recently, too. It's fucking great.
It's so good.
It really
I remember
is.
I saw that in theaters whenever it came out. When I would probably been like fucking 10 years old, but my aunt and uncle took me to see it.
That's a solid movie to see at the theaters. Holy shit.
What was the quote Sean Connery said? Losers always try their best. Winners get to go home and fuck the prom queen.
Yep.
I love it.
Whenever I hear it now, I think of Drive By Bukkake.
Yeah, they play that clip.
Yeah, losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. Yeah.
Blah.
Blah. I love it, man. Great movie, though. So, yeah. Rest in peace, Tony Todd. Speaking of Tony Todd, because we're going to continue on a little bit longer with it, the plot twist that he was the boy in the Space Needle.
Yep, from the very beginning of the movie.
I had no clue. He was in a Final Destination scenario through every single movie. No one had any clue. No one knew, but so cool. Final Destination still finds a way to throw in a little plot twist. Like, what Final Destination was it where the end of the movie was actually the beginning of the first film? Like, no one knew it was a prequel. Was that Final Destination 4?
I'm looking it up because it's been so long.
You consulting the Google machine? Oh, no, DuckDuckGo machine.
DuckDuckGo machine. Yep. I don't know.
You don't know? Oh, man. That's so cool, though. And I like that Final Destination just doesn't give a fuck about the people in the movie. If they're going to die, they're just going to straight die. That's it. No one's safe.
No, and that's like the way this movie ends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Bloodline. The way that it ends is crazy because you think these people are getting away.
Oh, no. Oh, they die in epic fashion.
It's okay. I actually rewound that scene because I was like, what just happened? But Final Destination 5 ends with a scene that connects directly to the beginning of the first film.
That's it. Final Destination 5. That's so cool because you're watching it and you're going like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Holy shit. You didn't know it was a prequel the whole time.
Yeah.
So they do have a way of still implementing these little plot twists and making callbacks to previous movies. For instance, there was another callback in this movie. The logging truck.
Several times. I was like,
several times.
Logging truck again.
Oh,
well, I never got over that logging truck. I still will not be behind a logging truck on the road.
You and fucking every millennial, man.
Yeah, fucking
every millennial that's seen that movie is like, nope. Never again. Forget it.
I bet being a driver of a logging truck's pretty sweet, though, because you never had anyone tailgating you.
Right? Everyone's just blowing past you. They're just like, no, forget it. I ain't dealing with this shit.
You get the whole highway to yourself, essentially.
Yeah, everyone keeps 100 feet away or more. They're just like, I'm just going to enjoy my ride because everyone's scared to death of me. Leave it to like one scene in a movie to traumatize a generation. I mean, the first one was pretty crazy with the plane blowing up and everything. But the logging scene, I think, is a little too real for people.
Oh, 100%, because it's just that you see it every day.
Yeah.
You see planes every day, but you're not on a plane every day.
Right, but you drive a lot. So, like, you see these fucking logging trucks on the road, and then, like, you don't think much of it. Now, Final Destination comes out, and you see everyone just getting obliterated by logs from a logging truck. Everyone's like, no, I can't do this anymore. This is way too real. I don't like it. And I see these videos now where parents are trying to show their kids this log scene.
Really?
And, yeah, and they're just like, some of them are legitimately traumatized watching it, while others are just straight dead face cold. Like, why are they driving behind this thing? What's their problem? I mean, fair, but sometimes you don't have that luxury of getting around it. That's a wild scene, man. But I love that they did those callbacks, especially with the train. The train coming off the tracks was completely absurd to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But the logs falling off the train.
Dude, there was logs in this movie.
Yeah.
They leaned on that a lot.
They did, which I have no problem with because it's the most traumatizing one of the whole entire series. Everyone's terrified of it, like we were just mentioning. So they're going to double up on it, of course. Everyone's going to be like, fuck, logs again? I don't want to deal with that shit. Everyone's terrified now, especially the mother who, did she get smashed by a log? It happened so fast. She was mid-sentence, man, and she's like, I'm going to stay alive as long as either sliced in half or crushed to death. It happened so fast.
Iris?
That she didn't even... What's that?
Was it Iris?
No, not Iris. Iris died in a ridiculous fashion.
Fucking weather vane.
Yeah. A weather vane hits... What was it? It was just a gas canister, right?
Yep.
Like, not like liquid gas, like compressed air or something. And the weather vane went flying right through the back of her skull. And Stephanie's standing there right in front of Iris. Iris is doomsday prepping, basically. She's kind of like Laurie Strode. So Laurie Strode, in like the newer Halloween movies, she was kind of locked away in her own little doomsday house waiting for Michael to come. And that's kind of what Iris did. Iris just hung out in her house, never left, because she knew that death was out to get her. And somehow, like, just being in her house, that was her way of being able to protect herself. She wanted nothing to do with her family, to just keep them all safe. But when Stephanie came by and she was having that reoccurring dream of what Iris experienced, by the way, I was confused at the beginning on how this was all connected, because I'm just going to say that Stephanie and her brother looked way different than Iris.
A little different, for sure.
But also, Iris, oh God, she's hanging from the side of the Space Needle and the skin rips off her finger.
Oh my God, her ring got caught between like two screws.
Yeah.
And just, oh man. What do they call that? Degloving?
Yep, that's degloving.
I knew you were cringing.
Yeah, it was gross. So yeah, she got degloved, fell to her death, and then you see the scene with Stephanie dreaming all of this up. So at first I'm thinking, is there like this massive plot twist
that's already happening? That's what I thought was going to happen, because we see, obviously, this is in what, the 50s?
Yeah.
And then we see Iris die in this, but then she's alive in present day. So I'm like, what is happening?
Right. And it took me a minute to realize, like, oh, she was having a premonition of Iris's premonition for that whole thing. So it was like kind of...
Inception?
Premonition inception? Sure. But I thought it was really happening. I thought like this was the whole thing. Iris was degloved. She fell to her death. And then we see Stephanie. And I'm like, wait a second. So Stephanie is the granddaughter of Iris? I thought Iris was very much dead. She fell off the Space Needle. And then I realized, oh, it must be the premonition that she's dreaming of.
We never talked about that little prick kid getting killed. He deserved it.
Oh, you know what? That should be talked about, because fuck that kid.
Yeah, fuck that kid. Him and his fucking penny that started this whole thing.
Yeah, he was ready to murder someone, because when you're dropping coins off a building like that, that shit can go straight through people's skulls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a bullet falling out of the sky.
Exactly. So this kid didn't give a fuck. You know, he's robbing the fountain where all the coins are. He doesn't give a shit. People are just falling to their deaths, and he's like, oh, whatever, kids first. No, he doesn't fucking care at all.
Nope. I'm glad he fucking died.
Yep. But he caused this whole thing to happen. He threw a penny. It came flying in through the vent and got stuck on the ventilator. Or, like, not the ventilator. The
fan.
The fan, yeah. It stopped the fan from moving, which was stopping gas from being fed through. So I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was like gas, because eventually people just started going ablaze in this fucking whole sequence at the beginning. It was, dude, so insane. This whole scene was just nuts. My favorite was the piano.
Oh, that poor woman.
Oh, my God. The piano is just teetering there. And then all of a sudden, that damn penny comes flying down and hits the piano, and just... the piano goes flying, smashes that lady, and then we see arguably one of the best deaths in this scene is that kid, that asshole kid, getting crushed by a piano.
It was awesome.
Yep. Fuck that kid.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, he deserved it. And he exploded, man. He was just a bag of blood, and it just everywhere because of this piano. So he deserved it. I don't care. Just an asshole kid.
Mm-hmm.
Robbing people's dreams and just causing hell. All sorts of hell. But man, yeah, in this scene too, there was the chefs. that were cooking on an open flame, and these people were just getting, like, blazed up. Like, you wouldn't believe, because the fan, like, the exhaust fumes, I think that's what it is. It was exhaust fumes. Mm. And these exhaust fumes caused an ignition. And a lady just randomly gets caught on fire. She's running around. Shit's crashing down everywhere. People are just falling. It is absolute chaos. It arguably is, like, up there on the list of chaos scenes in these Final Destination movies. To be honest, like, most of them are chaotic. But, dude, I might put this up there with, like, maybe top two. I'd say the log scene in Final Destination 2, number one. And this might be number two, because this is absurd.
The Space Needle stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it was like maybe a 15, 20 minute scene. There was just so much happening nonstop. People dying in different ways.
Yeah. It wasn't like the Final Destination where they're all at the racetrack and tires going flying and like cars crashing and shit. Nothing like that. That's still bad. Then there was like the one with the, what was it? The roller coaster flying, right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yep.
Nowhere near as bad. The Space Needle scene is bar none number two in pure chaos for these movies. And that's my hot take on that. Man, but I can't rave about this movie enough. I love this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. Like you see, I barely took any notes.
I know, because you enjoy watching the movie. And I am the machine that's just typing down every single thing I see and then needing ChatGPT to like organize my chaos. But man, yeah, this is a fun movie. You didn't take many notes and because you were enjoying it.
Yeah, it's generally what happens with me. Like I just don't want to be holding a device taking notes. Like I want to enjoy it. I kind of told you about that earlier today. I do it for, you know, I commit to the bit for the show.
Sure.
But yeah, you take a ton of notes. So I know we can live off those.
Yeah, that's the whole idea of this podcast, is just committing to the bit. And I don't want to be the only one noting things. That's the beauty of this podcast, is like the different ideas between you and I.
Mm-hmm,
I'm fucking overkill. And you're just like, these are like the important parts.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to overanalyze it because I know we're going to do it while we're recording the episodes. So
yeah, that makes perfect sense. Overanalyzing is a fucking problem. I have that problem sometimes.
And I also don't want to recite the movie. I want people to watch these movies, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is a movie that should definitely be watched. It's fun. It's why you go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And if I saw this thing like IMAX or something, I'd be freaking the fuck out, especially with that Space Needle scene.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be fucking wild. Did this play in IMAX?
Oh, I don't know. Did it? I feel like it did. Let's see. IMAX, Final Destination, Bloodlines. It was.
Okay. That must have been wild live.
Yeah, it was filmed for IMAX. Oh, God. Yeah. Especially if it was like at the Jordan's Theater with the butt kickers and like the two-story size screen.
Yeah.
Man, you would have been engulfed.
I want to see a movie in 4D.
Oh, like the one where it's like shaking and you almost like see fire on the ceiling and shit?
I believe there's scent as well. It's similar to the Sphere in Vegas, but obviously this is a movie theater. Have you been to the Sphere?
Not yet.
Oh my God. Dude, we got to go next year when we go to WrestleMania.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's the plan, by the way. But yeah, man, this movie was amazing. I had a great time watching it. And kind of like what I was saying, it's why you go to movies. Like we were just talking, it was in IMAX. I would have loved to have seen it, but that's our bad for missing it. I mean, Corey, you don't like going to the movies really anyways, unless it's like an indie movie that's showing in like one place.
Yeah, if it's something that isn't, because we want to support indie movies and we want them to keep being in theaters around here. So we kind of just try to contribute to it. And not only that, but we end up knowing a lot of the people that are releasing these indie films that show in theaters around us. So we just go to support them as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you and I hung out last week and we were going to go see 28 Years Later. And it's like, nah, let's wait till we can stream it.
Yeah, basically. I liked the idea, but we were doing too much, man. And I was in fucking space. For those of you who don't know, Corey and I decided to hang out and go to a baseball game. And this fucker lovely evening. We have some dinner. I got stuck in an insane amount of traffic trying to get to your house. Luckily, the food was still warm, but we're having a lovely dinner while watching some YouTube. We're like, okay, we're going to go to the baseball game. Corey goes, hey, you want one of these? I'm like, yeah, sure. So gives me a gummy. I'm thinking to myself, gummies are usually 5 milligrams, right? No. Not at all. This gummy, this motherfucker, this gummy was 25 milligrams, which is my max of what I will do for gummies. As soon as I hit 30, the floor is lava. I am like, space is a thing of the past once I hit 30. But I was in space when I hit 25 milligram gummy. Fuck. I thought it was just 5 milligrams, and I was just like, I'm just going to sit here and vibe and enjoy the night. No, no. I was like on a different planet, man. I was, I was in the space station hovering just above the Earth.
So poetic. I love that.
It's poetic.
Yeah. We need down on a shirt.
Yeah. Oh man. You lost it when I said that because that's
breathe.
How I was.
I couldn't breathe when you said it.
Yeah, I'm on the space station floating just above the Earth, and you lost it. We were also very fucking giggly because of this stuff.
I couldn't stop it. And then there was that one point where I'm like, Steve, where'd the ball go? I'm like trying to find him, like the outfield. And Steve goes, oh, it went behind him. It's the in the arms glove. I'm like, fuck, I thought it went the other way.
What? Corey was so fucked. He's looking for a ball that doesn't even exist.
Then we went and we got delicious ice cream sandwiches after that.
Oh, my God,
and you
did we?
Taxi to the truck.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. No, it's fine. It's fine. I already wiped it up. It's like it never happened.
Good. Because I didn't expect that to fucking... Who does that? First of all, who does that?
You get a deluxe cookie. So it's like a giant cookie with, what, 4 scoops of ice cream in it?
I don't know. Something like that. That's enough for me to
We're eating
through.
It. And I got the smaller one. So I only got 2 scoops of ice cream and like 2 regular sized cookies. But Steve's eating his. And I finish mine. I'm like, Steve, all right. Like, I'm done. And you're just like, I can see that you hit the wall.
Yep.
And I go, Steve, are you good? He goes, no, I'm going to take the rest home with me. Ice cream.
Yeah, because
you got 45 minutes to drive home.
I should have known it was going on the back seat because when I was carrying it, I'm like, oh, this is like on my hand. But I was also fucking still slightly in space when I was driving home from your place.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, I mean, still just like I was coming out of it. I wasn't like still like, oh, I'm fucked up. I was still like a little spacey. I was kind of in the clouds a little bit, you know, working my way down.
Yeah.
But I was fine to like head home.
Well, you ate one of those Indian reservation gummies that I got in New York.
Don't fuck with Indian reservation gummies, people. That's my advice for you today. Unless you want to like head into space or just watch the ground turns to lava while you're making grilled cheese, then that stuff's for you.
I look over at you at one point and you're literally just like melting onto the floor. Steve, how are you doing?
And
you're literally like half in the seat. Your knees are almost touching the concrete.
I was so fucking ripped, man. Oh my God. Wow. Yeah, we're a good time. So if you ever hang out with us and you have Eddie's, let's party.
Let's party.
Let's get ripped up. Let's go to space. But speaking of space, I think we can go into it. No. Let's go into our final review. Corey, what do you give Final Destination Bloodlines?
This obviously gets a 5 out of 5. I have always been a big fan of the series. While skeptical when I heard this was announced, I think they did a great job. The kills are absolutely brutal, and I love that we got one last dialogue with the legendary Tony Todd. I hope they don't wait so long to make the next one, because we both know it's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely going to happen. I think this is probably one of the strongest in the series, to be honest.
I think it cooked at the box office, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think it did really well. We can even check real quick, but I'm assuming it's done very well. Why don't you pull that up on Box Office Mojo or something?
I wrote Final Destination Mojo.
Sure.
That didn't bring that me works. Up what I was looking for.
Okay.
Domestic, 135 million.
Okay.
International, 145. So worldwide, 280 million.
Good.
On what was the budget?
Budget, I'd probably place at 50 million, 75 million.
Let's see.
That would be, I think, a pretty solid guess.
Bloodlines budget, 50 million. Oh my God.
Called it. 75 million was the high. Yeah, that's a killing. It made, what's that, 400%? Well, 450% profit? It's pretty fucking good. Or return, I should say, ROI. I'm probably doing bad math, but obviously did very well. It cooked at the box office. I think it even got some rave reviews on it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this was, people were talking about it nonstop.
Yeah, what was the Rotten Tomatoes on that? Let's see. I'll look it up for once. Oh, here we go. Final Destination Bloodlines. Oh, yeah. Look at this. This is pretty wild. 92% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes for the sixth movie in the series. Also, 87% popcorn meter, which is the audience. So that's a very good score.
Damn. Yeah. Did very well.
Did very well is right. Yeah. I wonder what the others really did. I'll have to look into that and see how the other Final Destinations did. But that's a very good score. Okay. So for my review, I'm going to go with a 5 out of 5 on this as well. It was a lot of fun. The deaths were completely absurd, which is what you hope for in a Final Destination movie. And that monologue from Tony Todd will go down in infamy due to the life essentially imitating art there. He essentially was giving his own eulogy. So rest in power, Tony Todd. Per usual in epic fashion with Final Destination movies, the suspense built up before the deaths is always amazing. And I love how you're really trying to guess the death. And sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. I was wrong in the vending machine one. And then it turned out to be even better than what I was hoping for. So if you want to check out Final Destination Bloodlines, it's available for VOD. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans. Directed by Zach Liv... What?
What did you just
Lipovsky. Okay. Zach Lipovsky. Lipovsky. I'm going with that. Directed by Zach Lipovsky. Oh, jeez. That's... Help.
Blooper, please.
Oh no, this is a hard last name to say. Lipovsky. Directed by Zach Lipovsky and starring Adam B. Stein. Dude, it's so hard. I'm gonna phonetically spell this fucker out. Lipovsky. Okay.
You actually did it. You put hyphens between the letters. All right.
The movie's directed by Zap. Oh, God. Ah, help me. What the fuck?
You in space, dude?
Yeah. No, I wish.
I'm going there.
Okay.